Welcome, everyone. Gosh, we're so happy to be back on Sunday at 9. We have a great show tonight. I want to dedicate this to my wife, who's in a rehabilitation place in Olympia, Washington, called Mother Joseph. She's doing very, very well. The staff there is phenomenal. It's truly due to be a five-star shop. They're just venerable backers for all the work they do for everyone. So I wanted to give them a shout out. And my friend Joan, who is my friend for 60 years in Beverly Hills, is listening tonight. And so we have a great show. We have Sharon Milliman, who's been my friend for, gosh, forever. And also we have Ned and we have Diana. And Sharon, Sharon is, I'm going to have her talk, but I just want to say that Sharon is truly, one of my wonderful friends, and she truly had a near-death experience. In fact, I think she had two or three, and she'll talk about that. But she wrote a book, Song in the Wind. I guess she can write another one right now. But and the Song in the Wind is such a great, great story about afterlife and all the things that happen when you go to heaven. So I'll let her talk. Sharon, welcome. Welcome, kiddo.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Sharon is in the East Coast, and so it's like 12 o'clock there. So thank you, Sharon, for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having
me. Anyway, tell us, I know that you were struck by lightning. Just tell your story.
Yes, I was struck by lightning while I was sitting on my back steps talking on a cordless phone, and I died. And went to heaven, talked with God, and saw Jesus, and met my two brothers who had died when they were babies. And then I came back, and here I am.
So I remember you said that you you went through the tunnel where you were uplifted to heaven, and I remember you said that you landed barefoot in paradise.
I did.
And beautiful. And I remember you saying that you imagine the most beautiful garden in the world and magnified by a million. That's heaven.
Yes, heaven is. If you take the most imaginable, most beautiful spring day imaginable, multiply it by about 10 bazillion, and that's what heaven is like.
And you said there's
amazing
birds and flowers and waterfalls and everything that's imaginable, and the colors were vivid. And
yeah, they were very, the colors were, like the pinks were pinker, the reds were redder, yellows more red. Everything was more vivid and more brilliant than you've ever seen here.
And you also said that, if I remember this, that when the wind blew, you had a fine-tuned orchestra.
That's true. I heard music. It was like the biggest, most magnificent orchestra you could ever hear.
Wow. How exciting is that? And for those people, you know, first of all, you know, this is something that we've been talking about now for a few years. But when I first started doing this, if you talked about near-death experience, they'd put you away somewhere. They just didn't think that, you know, we knew what we were talking about. So, of course, Sharon has been, she's the chosen one. She actually went to heaven and she saw Jesus. Tell us about that.
When I saw Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Well, I was with my two brothers and they were still showing me around. And Jesus came out of a grove of trees, and he was the most magnificent thing I've ever seen in my life. He was so beautiful.
I know, and it's just breathtaking. I saw him. Just breathtaking.
Yeah, he really is.
And so you sat on a log with him?
Well, he led me into a wooded glen.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down on a log. And when I sat down on the log, Jesus walked away.
Oh.
And there was a man sitting next to me. And the man that was sitting next to me was God.
Wow.
And God and I proceeded to have a conversation. He asked me, what would you do if it was just me and you? And I didn't know how to answer God at that particular time. And so he asked me again, what would you do if it was just me and you? And I still didn't quite know what to say. And so we got up. He said, follow me. So we got up and we started walking through the wooded area, and we found a clearing. And when we got to the clearing, he cleared the sky. And when he did, he showed me the vastness of the universe, the, you know, beautiful stars and spinning planets and all of that. And I still didn't know what to say. So we sat down again. And he showed it, or he asked me the question again. And that's when I proceeded to say, I was looking at this oak tree in this beautiful garden, and I saw the detail of the oak, or the bark, and I saw the nutrients coming up through the veins in the tree and going into the leaves, and how the leaves pull the air, and how we breathe the air, and how everything is connected to everything else. And I said to God, I said, you know, you made this tree, you are in this tree. So when I see this tree, I see you. And he said, yes, that's right. And, and so I went on and I started thinking further about, my parents. And I said the same thing about my parents. I said, God, you made my parents, you're in my parents. So when I see my parents, I see you. And he said, yes, that's right. So then I started saying that about my children. And he said, yeah, that was correct. And then I said, I started thinking about someone who was very cruel and had hurt me. And I said, God, there are people that in this world that are very cruel and have hurt other people, but you made them, so you're in them. So, and he said, yes. And I said, so when I see them, I see you. And he said, yes, that's right. And so.
Well, you know, I learned that we are a part of everything that there is. It's truly true, and here you are talking about this very thing that I've felt and I've known for a while. We are a part of everything there is. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be, because we are a part of good and bad, and, I mean, we just are part of everything. And it's how we handle that. And Sharon, for those people who have just joined us, this is Sharon Lilliman, and she had a near-death experience, and she's written a book called A Song in the Wind. And she died and came back. But Sherry, what I want to share with you is that, like the movie was the one that, Josh, you know, it's the one that everybody talked about. Heaven is for real. And In that series, the mother had lost a baby. And when the little boy was in heaven, he said, hey, Mom, I play with my sister. And, of course, she thought it was the sister that shared a room with him. And he said, she went, yeah, okay. No, not that sister, he said, the one that died in your tummy. And, of course, she went, what? What? What was it? What was her name? And she said, you never named it. What she looked like? And she said, well, it looks like my sister here, but she's got, looked like you more. Anyway, why I'm even mentioning this is that now we understand, and Sharon says the same thing, that you, when you pass away, you grow up in heaven. And a good example is, Sharon, about your brothers. How old were they when they passed away? They were young, twins, right?
Well, they weren't twins. One was one year older than the other.
Oh, okay.
So they were a year younger than I was.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was 2 years younger than me.
Uh-huh. And they died. How old were they when they died?
Well, one was in utero, and the other one was died after birth, just after birth.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So we all have a life for you, Sharon. You talked about that.
Yes.
Talk about that life review, if you will.
Well, when it was time for my life review, it was like watching a old-fashioned movie on an old-fashioned movie screen. And it was very quick. It was a black and white movie. And I could see everything that I had ever done from the time of my birth until the time that I died. And I didn't feel any judgment. I felt love, complete love, just pouring into me. My brothers were with me. This huge loving presence was with me, was standing behind me, and I knew that presence was God. And I was not being judged. And what I learned was
we judge ourselves, don't we?
We do. We judge ourselves as we're watching this.
I know that.
And I didn't feel any judgment. I wasn't judging me. And I went, and God wasn't judging me. My brothers weren't judging me. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And there was a bunch of other people around. And I didn't feel judged by any of them.
Wow.
And so it was just over very quick.
So, and you... You didn't know who your brothers were at first, right? When you first went there, I remember you saying that there was a couple of good-looking angels. I think that's
well, yeah, they were.
Yeah. 6 foot two.
Well, they were young men about probably. They were about 25, 30, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
And they looked like they'd been out on the beach all day. They were glowing, literally. I mean, everybody there was glowing, but these were the first two that I saw, and they were just, they had blonde hair like mine, but it was curly.
How did you know it was your brothers?
Well, at first I thought they were angels, and then it was like, bam, it just kind of hit me. No, we're not angels. We're your brothers. Like, my gosh.
I love it. I love it. Oh, my gosh. That's so special. That's so special. And then you, and I remember I asked you, as people who know me know that my mother lives to be 101, and she was a little tiny Italian lady. And she could eat like a longshoreman, boy. She loved food, and she ate. And she said, I can't eat all that. And she'd eat that. And she said, where's dessert? So I said to Sharon, is there food in heaven? That's all I want to know. What was your response to that, Sharon?
Absolutely. I saw a party. My brothers took me to this place where it appeared that there was a party going on, and there was all kinds of food. And there were meats and cheeses and breads and pastries and all
kinds. They were serving champagne with silver trays.
On silver trays, yes.
Yeah, and the guy was playing the piano with roses on top of the piano,
That's
right?
Exactly right. It was absolutely incredible. People were dancing, and some people were just talking and laughing, and it was just amazing. It was absolutely
And everybody
amazing.
Everybody you saw was like 35, right?
Oh, yeah, nobody was over the age of probably early 30s.
Yeah, because, again, the movie that's very popular is the one that Heaven Is For Real, and the little boy was playing, and he said to his dad, I play with my grandpa. And he said, I love my dad. Here's the picture. He showed him a picture with glasses, and he goes, "Oh, no one has, no one wears glasses in heaven, Dad." And he goes, "No, this is not who I played with." So he said, "Well, this is the my dad." And he goes, "Well," so he asked his mother if she had a picture of Dad when he was like 30. And so he took the picture and he showed the boy and he said, "That's who I played with." So, I mean, it's a fact that everybody goes back to the very best you were when you were 30 or 35. Pretty exciting, actually. Pretty exciting. So Ned, what do you have to say about this? Welcome.
Hi. I think it's awesome, and it's awesome because it aligns with what everyone or what a lot of other experiencers talk about. And me being a skeptic early on, and even still now, but an open-minded skeptic, I need to understand the bigger picture and the evidence, because anyone can say or bring up some kind of a belief system, but I have to see, is there any truth in that? And everything that Sharon and you have shared, especially from the movie also, and her from her experience, it all matches up. And so I definitely, you know, I used to think about suicide, and I have learned that there is an afterlife, because I thought that there wasn't, and that our actions here matter. And so I no longer think about that.
Well, I'm glad about that, because you know, it would be a tremendous loss, my friend. You're tell people how you got started in this with your website.
And so back in 2012, I attended my first IANS conference. And IANS is the International Association for Near-Death Studies. And at that time in 2012, it was in Scottsdale, Arizona. And it was a huge eye-opener and heart opener, and I met a lot of experiencers who have had NDEs, and I met Sharon either at that one or the ones after, but I just know that I've met her a few times in person, and it's almost like a bond between experiencers, because experiences open up people's hearts. And so if you attend a conference with experiencers, it's almost like, even if you're a stranger, there's a sense of a familiarity and heart. And they have that for everyone, because we're all connected. And a lot of experiencers talk about how we're all one. And so that is so important. To know and also live, you know, because what I think about a lot is what do experiencers teach us, and how can we apply that in our lives? And so we see, especially in our country with politics, a lot of people are divided, and a division is the opposite of what experiencers teach us, that there is a higher power, including a God or source, and there are angels, and they all want us to treat each other better, even the people on the other side, or even the people we disagree with. And so I think about that a lot, because ultimately they talk about how we came here to Earth. Earth is hard. Earth is like a hard school or adventure or a combination of those two. And we come here to see if we can bring a little more heaven into earth. And heaven starts from in our heart, and then it can radiate mm-hmm. outward. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. a lot of people, for so long on the earth, if someone wanted to think about more than the mundane on earth, and they wanted to have a faith, the only thing they could turn to is religion. But for so long, religion has so many branches and divisions and disagreements on things. But what I love about the experiences is it transcends all of those divisions. It's like, hey, all that stuff is we created all the divisions on earth, but beyond that, like the critical important thing is love and unity. And we do have life reviews, and we do see how we treated ourselves and others. And so a lot of people are so much, they end up in intellectual or mind. And it's hard because if you turn on the television or news and you hear politics or finger pointing, it's all mind stuff. And it takes us out of our heart. We need to remember, beyond all that, we're all connected. And so if anyone or if any politician or leader is saying that other people are less than human or are bad, that's incorrect. We're all equal and we're all loved. And we start acting like it more.
You know, Ned, we talked about this last week or last time we had our show. Maria Dancing Heart, did you know her?
She was a
pastor who was my wonderful close friend as well. And she was end of life pastor, and I met her, had her in my show a couple of times, and then she wrote a couple of books called The Last Adventure of Life. And when my mother passed away, she drove 2 days to be with me and come down and moved into my house that my mother had. And it was just the most wonderful thing that happened, because she was just really there for me, and I really need that. I mean, you know, you study all this stuff and you know that, but you still are hit pretty hard when you lose somebody, especially somebody who is vibrant. And my mother was wonderful till the day she died. She was very, very healthy and full of life. And so Maria, we became great fast friends, and we had her on our show a couple of times, and she wrote this book, and I gave her way more than I want to tell you for people who has, you know, different situations. But why I'm telling you all this is because she got run over when she was crossing the street in in Shelton, Washington. A guy was driving one of those lift trucks, and he ran over her and killed her. And she was with her boyfriend, and he tried to, of course, stop the truck, but, you know, they both end up being run over. He didn't die. So I did her funeral, and we got a message from her, and the message said, I am free. I'm singing with the angels now. Love is all there is. Love is all there is. Thank you for each and every one of you for sharing life and love with me. May peace prevail on earth. And she said in Japanese, because she was raised by Japanese, she lived in Japan, and she was raised by missionaries in Japanese. She said, thank you very much. Arigato. Pretty special. But right back to what you said, love is all there is. And if we can understand that and just go and say, I mean, you know, we Jesus talked about that over and over. And, you know, you just have to really live by that rule.
And it also reminds me of the ancient poet Rumi. And I'm not an expert on him or his poems or poetry, but there is a really short and poignant poem he has. And it says, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. Meet me there, you know? And it reminds me of near-death experiences, because even a lot of experiencers end up in a beautiful field or meadow, and it's above and beyond all of our earth drama or, you know, family arguments or issues with other people. It's like, beyond all that, if we can just like see life in a pure new way, almost like a magical way, that is our answer and our way out. If we can imagine that metaphorical field in our daily life, or we can meditate and envision it and visualize it. So even, you know, at home or at work, even if it's a few seconds or minutes of imagining everyone around us in a whole new magical world, without the drama or, you know, ego. What's interesting about our egos is oftentimes we like to blame others or even ourselves, because a lot of us have guilt or shame and we hold on to it, and it clouds our own light. And experiencers all talk about how we are light beings, and that light comes within our hearts. And so it's also love. It's almost like a light and love are two properties of the same thing. But yeah, that whole message is so important. And just like Maria, you mentioned, a lot of other experiencers, you know, when they come back, like I always recall Trisha Barker and her NDE, uh-huh. because she uh-huh. was told, go back and remind them to go to nature, and also to be like children, you know, not to take ourselves so seriously.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, Ned, I remember I was told that when you're in heaven, that you're asked three things, and that is, one thing you're asked is, how much have you loved? Not who, but how much have you loved? And the second thing you're asked is, what have you done for others? And finally, the third thing you're asked is forgiveness, starting with ourselves. We are the hardest persons to forgive ourselves. Why that? I don't know why that is, but it's true.
Yes, no, exactly. You know, I think, you know what, like oftentimes life on earth is hard and it's challenging. But oftentimes, what is the purpose of that? Our egos will often fight it and will often, like, you know, want to appear the winner, even at the expense of others. But that kind of is slowing our learning, because our learning actually happens in the hard times when we are basically humbled and suffering and have to just give up our own ideas and concepts and just say, help. I don't know. This is a bigger than me. Help. And in those, in the times we do that and we're humbled, is
when our guards are down, then all this stuff, that you're absolutely right. You know, I want to say something about Sharon, if I can. Sharon, again, we're great friends, but I remember I was working in a flower shop in DuPont, Washington, and doing some flowers for the military, which, of course, I love. And I made this beautiful purple hot pink arrangement And I said, hey, Mom, this is for you. And I called Sharon up because she had come home from an operation just to see how she was doing. And she interrupted me and she said, your mother said she loved the hot pink and purple arrangement you just made. And mind you, Sharon's in Virginia. And so, I mean, I just want you to know, guys and girls, these are family members. Hear us, they see us, and know exactly what we're doing. So, you know, I hear people say, I wish Frank could see this. I wish Harold could see this. Well, guess what? They do see it. Just so you know, if you say their name, they're right there next to you. Just be aware of that. Another time I rented my house to somebody who actually I found with a bag over their head with a sign that said, do not resuscitate. And I don't think I told Sharon this story at all, but I talked to Sharon and she tells me that she left me a note, which I found. Sharon says this, Joseph, she left you a note. She knew exactly what happened. She knew exactly what was, it was a rape and murder. And they just put it down as a suicide. But in fact, Sharon saw all that. She appeared to Sharon twice to tell her the stories about her life and her death. So anyway, people, not everyone comes back as a, not everyone has near death experience to come back as a medium. But Sharon's a fine medium, that's all I'm telling you. Anyway, I wanted to say hello to Diane for a second.
Oh. Well, when Sharon was speaking of, I'm wonderful. When Sharon was speaking of up in heaven where there was this big party and it was very elegant. I actually have not had any near-death experiences, but I actually have been to that place. I woke up from a dream one time feeling just so marvelous. And the dream was I was at this big party. People were in these beautiful evening gowns, and there were arches where they were walking around with champagne, and people have trays of champagne. But I remember thinking that I was in heaven. And when I came back, I was so happy. I mean, when I woke up, I was so happy. The happiness lasted until noon. And I can just remember being like a big cloud of happiness. And so I actually believe I've been there visiting somehow. But what I wanted to talk about was one time when I was doing the psychic fair in Reno, and I was fairly new at being a medium. And I was always wondering if I was just picking up the information off the people, if I was just reading their sadness or their stories. And I had to stay overnight at a hotel. And during the night, during the day before, a woman came and she wanted to talk to her son. He was 12 years old and he had passed away 3 months ago. He had rode his bicycle out of the driveway and unfortunately got hit by a car. And I remember sitting there looking at her thinking, how could she be so together after this horrible tragedy? And he contacted me and I taught whatever it was. I remember he was being very polite. And that I always wondered, like, where am I getting this information? This was when I was fairly new at this. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just pulling it off the person of their memories. And so that night I was sleeping and all of a sudden I felt a presence in the room and it was the boy. He was standing at the foot of my bed and I was, you know, very shocked. And I'm going, you know, I remember hearing if somebody's in your room and you think they're from the other side, you ask them, what do they want? And so I said, you know, what do you want? And he stood there and he said, I just want to tell you thank you so much that I got to speak to my mother and she knew that I was okay. And I felt so bad at that point because I was so scared when I saw him. And then that's when I realized this is all real. I wasn't hallucinating. I wasn't pulling anything off of her energy. And I thought, oh, my goodness, because he was all by himself, and then he disappeared. And I felt so bad that I had was so startled. But that's when I realized, my goodness, this stuff is real.
Well, you know, though, you and I go way back. I mean, you and I, and you have been on my show for 20 years. And we you've been doing readings for people.
Yes.
Been doing readings for people, and people really are happy with them. It was Frisbee. I just want to say to anybody who wants to have a reading today, between that and you, maybe it does, that maybe help some people identify with their family member. So just by calling that number, what's the number you've got to call?
Who keeps showing up? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but you know who keeps showing up when you're speaking is your mother. And she's wearing her lavender suit.
That's my girl.
She keeps showing up like she's right there, right there.
I know.
And nodding her head, she's happy. She's very happy. But yeah,
you know,
it's all real.
So
I mean,
because it's so funny because when she's around me, I smell flowers. And I smell flowers today, and I thought, I don't have any flowers in the house. And here she is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's her. You know, she checks on you.
Oh, I do know that. I do know that. So between you and Ned, I would like very much for people to call in if they have anybody they want to talk to and have you guys take 15 minutes and just see if anybody would call in.
Okay.
And you can tell some of your stories that you have while you're waiting. Diana, you have talked to people and... I remember you did tell me about this one gal that she had a wardrobe. You know, everybody in heaven has homes, and they have parties.
Oh, yes.
They really,
they're lovely, too.
They really have a great life there.
Oh, yeah. It's heaven. I'll tell you one story. I was called to a house for, it was the woman's birthday, and it was her and her daughter. Her daughter was probably 30, and they were sitting in their kitchen, and I was doing a reading, and all of a sudden, the daughter says, "My hands are like ice," and I looked up, and there was a man holding her hands. He had wrapped his arms around her, and he was holding her hands. He was standing behind her. And I looked, and I described what I saw, and the mom said, "Oh, that was my husband. He had committed suicide." And
wow.
She said, I'm so cold. And then when he switched and he was holding his wife's hand, she said, "Oh, he's so cold." And that was the first and only time I've experienced somebody in the room with me that actually touched their loved one. And I don't know where he was, but he was really cold. And he was just crying. He had, like, tears running down his face. And he said,
"Because
you
can't keep
such
his life."
Yes. Yeah, I'm so sorry I hurt you. So I'm not sure what area he was in. But that's all I saw, and that's when they were saying, "We're so cold," and he was hugging him. And then, you know, he disappeared, and the room got warmer. But that was the only time that's ever happened to me.
You know, I remember.
I don't know about.
I remember Maria Bansinghart talking about somebody who didn't believe in afterlife, and his son would talk to the father, and the father, "Oh, I don't want to hear about it. I don't believe in that crap. I got to have proof. Don't even talk to me about it." And his son would say, "Dad, you know, I'm just telling you that there's an afterlife." And so of course he passed away. And when his son came home, his spirit was there. I mean, his body was there in spirit. And he was laughing. He said, "Well, you're right and I was wrong. I'm in heaven, and I just want you to know that I want you to know that you were right and I was wrong." And the son goes, "Please say that five more times, will you?" because, you know, of all the stuff he gave him, the hard time he gave him, he said, I just need to hear it a few more times because I tried to tell you, but you said no. So he said, well, I appreciate that.
I have a story about that also.
Go ahead.
Oh, when I was up in South Lake Tahoe, which I lived many years, three women came to me for a reading. They had lost their father, or he had passed away, and he was an atheist. He swore up and down there was nothing after you die, and if they would come home from school or they would say something about it, he would actually spank them. And so they wanted to know if he was someplace and could we contact him. And he showed up and he was crying again. Another one that was crying, saying, I am so sorry. I am so sorry I did that to you. I am so sorry. He said, it's wonderful. Even I'm over here, and it's wonderful. It's the most magical, wonderful place I've ever been. And he said, I am just so sorry I made your lives hell. And he was terrible to them. He actually spanked them if they said anything about an afterlife. But
wow.
They all were happy to know he was okay, and he was. But he was, you know, extremely sorry that he had.
So, and anybody who wants to call, Diane, what's the number that they can call the station and talk to you and Ned?
It would be 323-744-4831, and you can get a hold of us.
Yeah, and then
that's the call-in number.
Couple of free readings right now, guys, and then if you want to talk with them, you know, later on, I'll be happy to give you a private reading.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, we have about 15 minutes.
Yeah. So, Ned, what are you thinking about the show?
I love it, and I appreciate, I'll put in air quotes, seeing Sharon here, because I haven't talked to her in years, but also about sharing the message of unity and love. And then also here in terms of Diane mentioning how often, like how common it is of seeing our loved ones. Like it's every day, which is inspiring.
Yes. Yes, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I just want people to know this. I mean, I just had to tell you this story quick. You know, I have a flower shop, and I've had it for a long, long time, and my specialty is funeral tributes. So somebody called me for this, to deliver flowers to a lady who lost her son. And this was going to be a year, and this memorial service was going to be on Sunday, and this was like on Friday. And so I brought the flowers out, or I had sent them out. I had bought them at Fred Meyer's, which is a local store here, and they're not known for, you know, a lot of fresh stuff, so I don't know what I was thinking, but I bought them from there. I rearranged them, and I put them in a vase, and she called me up that next day and said they had all died. And I went, what? My flowers never die. But what's funny about this is I wanted to say something to her about her son, but, you know, I just didn't feel like it was the right time. And I was very sad about that, because I knew that she was having a tough time with it. So the flowers died, so, of course, I replaced them. And when she called me up, she said, oh, the flowers are beautiful. That's more like it. And I then said, so how are you doing? And she went, well, tomorrow's my son's memorial service, and I don't want to go. And I said, you know, Mary, whatever her name was, I said, you know, he sees you, he hears you, he knows exactly what you're going through. And what they don't want for us is to be upset. Because, you know, they don't want to see us unhappy. They want to see us happy. they're trying to tell us that, well, look, I'm fine. I'm in paradise. And I said, you know, this is not for him. It's for you. And she went, oh. I said, because he's in heaven. He's fine. But you need to do this for you. So, you know, she said to me, you know, I need to hear that. So she went, called me back, and she said, you have no idea how I need to hear that. This is what I do, and I've done this for a very long time, and it just makes me so happy to be able to help people like that, because, you know, when people are, lose someone like that, I don't care if they're teenagers or they're 101, it's a loss. There's no two ways about it. We're used to having them, all our animals as well. We have animals that we, they're our people, they're our family, they're our buddies. Unconditional love. So you just have to know that your family is there, hears you, sees you, and knows what is going on.
And Joseph, if I can add on to that, what you said is beautiful. And for a lot of people, including myself, you know, loneliness or feeling alone, even if we're around other people, sometimes if we don't feel understood or we don't feel someone on our wavelength, it still feels isolating. And so knowing that our loved ones can understand us even better than they can understand us on Earth, because they can hear our...
It's so true. Yes. I know that for a fact, because, I mean, like, a great example is here my mother said to me, tell Joe, I love the flowers he just did, a purple hot pink. I mean, that was 10 minutes after I made the bouquet. And not just that, but she's been to me a couple of times, and she's like 35 now. And as Sharon says, my mother was beautiful when she was young. She really was. Looked like a movie star. And so, as you know, we were just very, very close, because she was just so vibrant, so fun. And, So I just know for a fact that they see us, they hear us, they do communicate with us. You just got to be open, that's all, and know that. And then I'm so happy you came on our show with us. We love having you.
I, too, yeah. You know, this show has been special in terms of, like, other shows. It's almost like a job where it's like, okay, you schedule this appointment and it's, you know, you have to perform almost. But with this, it's almost like it's a family, or
I hope it feels like that. I mean, Sharon, and before I forget about this, I want to say Sharon's book, A Song in the Wind. Gosh, if you lose somebody, or even if you don't lose someone, go get the book and read it, because it's a special book. And what I want to do, I'm trying to get some help here, I want to produce this on live stage. It's the first ever near-death experience on live stage done. I can just see her book, walking out of her book and going over to the pulpit and reading the story, and having a choir sing when all the beautiful things that happened to in the story. You know, I remember years back I was in choir and we did the story of Christmas like that, where somebody talked about it and then the choir would sing it. It was just so moving. And I just think it would, you know, there's so many people that need to have this understanding and this. I mean, this is just the beginning, guys. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. And we just have to realize that. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us, hon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, Sharon by the way, Sharon went on Dr. Oz show. She was on Morgan Freeman's show. She was, she's been a pretty busy lady. And Sharon is just a fabulous woman. I just love her so much. She's unpretentious and she's just, you know, she's a true Christian. She really is. And,
thank you.
I love you very much.
Oh, I love
you
too.
I've gotten really, I mean, we have like, that says, we have a family here. You know, and Maria Danton Hartford, I loved her so much. And we, and she's been to see us, and she's just, you know, Ned, I wanted to say something to you. Maria, before she passed away, and I looked this up, she's raising her vibrations. Have you looked at it, into that?
Do you mean?
Literally raising your vibrations.
She can increase our vibration?
Yeah, raising.
Several instances of that, like, one, in terms of, I know if we eat more fruits and vegetables,
exactly.
But also if we listen to beautiful music that inspires us, or if we're around our loved ones, like, I also know that, for mediumship, and we all have intuition, and so at times, most of us, or maybe all of us, have had a glimpse, even without realizing it. In those times is when our energy or vibration is slightly higher and it's more charged up.
And that's the reason why I say this, because, I mean, if we could really have some workshops on raising your vibration, because I think that I looked up online, because I remember Maria telling me, I've been working on raising my vibrations. I went, oh, that's nice. But then as I thought about it, I mean, if you do that, you become one with all that there is. I mean, if that makes any sense. I mean, you really become one with all that there is.
I'll say in harmony, or even more, energetic a harmony or union with all that is around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, and getting, I mean, and meditation. I mean, meditation and all this all goes hand in hand. If you want to travel and see your loved ones, that's the way you do it. Because they, you know, I remember Diane. I remember Diane. I was at work. I do interior design work as well as flowers. And I was at work at a place called Shelton Floor Covering in Shelton, Washington. And I had a guy, I had a couple of guys over for, I think, Easter or Thanksgiving or one of those meals. And so one came in this job to see me, and I had a customer, so I just handed a phone to this woman who she didn't know who she was talking to. Diana was on the phone, and she had lost her mother and her dad. And so Diane didn't even know this was she was talking to, but I saw her talking to her, and I said, here, let's talk to her. Talk to my friend for me. So she took the phone, and I'm waiting on some customers. And then I also took, said, Diane, here, talk to my friend. And he had lost a baby, and I didn't even know it. And he was crying, and he said, I was ready for that. You remember that, Diane? You talked to two people, and then you remember I said to you, what are you talking about? You've been on the phone with her for an hour. And you go, they keep on showing up. My point is that when you have a way to communicate, they all want to say something. They all want to say, I want to talk. I want to talk. I want to say something. They're dying to tell us. Put on word. They want to tell us how exciting they are and how wonderful they have and how they love where they are. You know, heaven is for real, guys.
Yeah.
So again, this has been just wonderful having Sharon there. I'd like to have you often if we can, Sharon, if you don't mind putting up the old late hours, because we have so much to say. And I'd like very much to put this show on with Sharon live in a stage production of her book. I just think it would really make some people understand about this. You know, when I was in the store, a woman came in and she, I said, where are you from? She said, I always ask people where they're from. And she said, I'm from Oceanside, California, which of course I was there for a couple of years. And I loved Oceanside. So I said, I love Oceanside. What are you doing here? And she goes, I met the love of my life. And he just died. I don't know anybody. And I'm just devastated. So I went out and got a book, Maria's book, Maria Dancing Heart, which was Last Adventure Life. And gave her the book, and of course, off she went. Never bought carpeting, by the way, the way she came in. So anyway, then about a week later, we had a book signing at Barnes & Noble's. And we had more people that ever came to a book signing in the history of Barnes & Noble's. We had standing room only. We had doctors. We had people from funeral people were there. We had nurses there. And Maria signed all her books, and she ran out of books. We talked about life after death, and we talked about this whole thing. And this woman stood up, and she said, this man, pointing to me, saved my life. I want him to buy carpeting. And he gave me her book. And now I don't cry every day. I know that my husband's with me. That's why we do this, guys. That's why we do this. It gives me great joy to have shows like this and let people know that there's life after death. There's no death, guys. We do go on.
Yeah.
And if I can add onto that, because it's so important. And, you know, like as beautiful as it is, like, it doesn't mean that we need to just kind of just wait around, you know. It's actually about living better here, and they often help us out even without us realizing it, in terms of nudging us in certain.
Oh yes. Oh
yes. Mm-hmm. Bringing people or pets to us.
Yes. You know, I had two visitations from Jesus, and so and I'm not going to go into it now, I don't have time, but I'll tell you right now, I'm a changed person because of that. And what I did was I kept on helping other people. You know, I just happened to be, I was a janitor at the hospital, which, and I was there, and there was a guy who was, I was sweeping the floor, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. And, he had his head down, and he was in his pajamas. And I said, hi, how are you? I'm terrible, he said. I said, well, what's wrong? He goes, well, I'm a drunk, and I'm bisexual, and I'm this, and I'm that. I go, look, nobody has a patent on life. We all go through stuff. We've all been here. We've all done it. Guess what? We made it. Let me show you something. I brought him into the office, which, of course, was against the law. I had to keys to all the offices, and I said, let me show you how to meditate. And he sat down and he meditated, and tears came out of his eyes. He goes, I've been trying to do this all my life. He went back to the ward. He's been there for a couple months, and he called me up. What'd you say to him? What'd you give him? He said, nothing. Why? He said, because he wants to go home. He's been here for 3 months. And I kept on running into people like that every day. I'd run into somebody who just lost a baby. And I'd go by and I'd go, how's your wife? Well, no, I'm out here. I'd go in here and tell your wife that it's a terrible loss, but you guys are young and have more. She needs you right now. You know, just go and give her a hug and tell her you love her, and everything will be fine. Your baby's going to be just fine. We'll be in heaven. I was always there when people needed me. It's so funny. It's just, and it gave me such great joy. I once picked two hitchhikers up, We almost were almost out of time. And I, because the car had broke down, and I never picked up two hitchhikers at 11 o'clock at night, but I just got a word to pick them up. So I brought them to my house because they wanted a drink of water or something, and it was late. So I brought them to my house and I sat them down and I said, you guys want to run a minute? How to meditate? I said, sure. And so I sat him down and I said, and I could have turned the lights off and her face would have lit the whole room up. It took us a long time to get her down from meditation, but it finally did. And she said, you have no idea what you did here. We're ex-alcoholics. And we have car broke down. We had a terrible day. And we were going to go home and have to get drunk. It's because of you, we're not going to now.
Yay.
We all have a calling, guys. We all do. And, you know, you just have to be open for it and know that, you know, people are pretty special. I want to say thank you, Ned, for being with us. Thank you, Sharon. Diane, always my buddy.
Thank you.
And
you're
we're
welcome.
Going to do this every other Sunday. And if anybody wants to call in for a reading, the last 50 minutes or so, we'll do that. We'll do a little, some readings just so people can get contact with your loved ones. Diane, do you want to finish up before we're about ready to close up?
Oh, well, I think it's about time that we're done here. But this is a wonderful show, and you're not dead. You're not dead. You live on, and you live on, and you live on, and it's the most wonderful thing.
And yes.
If somebody would have told me this about 20 years ago, I would have went, I don't think so, but I know now. I do know.
And this is what, you know, we just want people to know that. You know, like I say, it's so difficult when you lose somebody. Boy, it's just mind-boggling. And
sometimes the grief is so strong that it's hard to penetrate.
You know, I say it's like the ocean.
There.
It's like the ocean. It comes in sometimes, and it comes in like a typhoon.
Yep.
It comes in like a tsunami.
Yep.
And so that's what we want to talk about, grief. And we'll talk about grief, too. Ned, what do you know about grief? We'll talk about that and see if we can get some people some pointers on how to grieve. Because everybody needs to grieve. They really do.
Yeah. It is. It's like waves. Well, my friend, it's been a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much for... guys, for putting up with us. And Sharon, again, thank you, honey, for being here this late hour.
You're probably going to turn into a pumpkin. A rotten pumpkin?
If we find a slipper, we'll let you know. Anyway, thank you all. And thank you for tuning in to Joseph Farley Presents. And this will be on podcast, so Ned, you can listen to it, and guys, everybody can listen to it. I guess we'll sign
thank
off.
Thank you. Okay.
Good night now.
Good evening. Good night.